My name is Uma Kandeleva, and I'm with International Relief and Development, which is an international non-government, non-for-profit organization, and we are doing a lot of relief and development work in countries on a transition or in a crisis situation. And this particular presentation will try to let you know a little bit about our interventions which we are doing in Jordan with a specific focus to the recent refugee crisis Jordan is facing on hosting Syrian refugees. This is a picture of the so-called Zatri camp, and this is considered to be second largest refugee camp in the world after my colleague presented the camp in Africa. This camp was, and the all, most of the issues related to the camp was very well documented in international media, in local media. We had lots of publications about the camp, and as you see, the location of the camp is really in the middle of the desert with nothing around, and of course, life of Syrian refugee in this camp is not very comfortable, but majority of the refugees who are residing in Jordan are not living in a camp. Most of them are living in across the country in urban settings or urban or semi-urban settings, and this is one of the main problems which Jordanian authorities are facing, as well as international and UN agency, in order to find these people. First of all, you need to be able to differentiate between refugees and Jordanians who speak the same language, who looks like the same, and refugees are not very often trying to come forward and identify themselves. That's one of the serious challenges. And with the basic statistics, which I have only from August, which is, of course, a little bit different now, but in terms of general percentage is similar, it is more than 600,000 refugees, Syrian refugees, are living across the Jordan, where around only 100,000 are living in the camps, in different camps. And most of the refugees are settled in the northern part of Jordan, which is closer to Syrian border for them, where initially Jordan as a country having these northern areas as so-called poverty pockets, which means on Jordanian territory where most of the vulnerable Jordanians were living for years and was trying to, you know, to make their livings. For the last 4 years, we have huge influx of refugees who are settled on the same territory with vulnerable Jordanians and depleting very limited resources these territories have. We should also remember that Jordan, due to its geographical location, is facing not the first wave of refugees and resettlement in their territory, not mentioning Palestinian refugees who are sort of settled in the country for the last 40 years and still have their refugee issues not resolved completely. We also remember then around a decade ago when the first Iraqi refugees were leaving Iraq due to their conflict in their country, and a lot of them came to Jordan and was settled in Jordan waiting for their resettlement to the third country issues. But they still are settled and many of them are still residing in Jordan. And now, for the last 4 years, we see more and more Syrians coming to the same territory, which means that Jordan as a country, it's middle-income country with quite a small population, but now, recently, its population nearly doubled due to the refugee influx, which also have a very serious burden to all the demographic and social economic resources of the country. We With IRD, we are doing a number of different interventions at different levels, but due to the topic of this conference, I would like to focus a little bit on the health interventions which we are doing together with our colleagues of other international agencies in Jordan. And making the very general sort of analysis of major health issues Syrian refugees are facing in the country, I should name, of course, very serious burden of non-communicable disease, as hypertension, cardiovascular disease, asthma, etc. But I would like to confirm that we seriously seeing the problem of mental health issues and mental health conditions, and I agree very much with my colleague who presented earlier, then not all, but majority of refugees are suffering very serious post-traumatic syndromes, and this is all, most of them related to the war trauma, immediate war trauma, and all sort of post-traumatic issues after being resettled, after they left their country and having additional stress to be trying to be settled for some period of time in a new health conditions. Of course, a lot of communicable disease and acute illness issues like we recently had a serious measles outbreak in Jordan with, all sort of complications. We were trying to prevent the polio outbreak. Once polio cases were identified in Syria, Jordanian authorities, together with the international community, put a lot of efforts on prevention of polio through mass vaccination campaigns, which are still going on. Definitely all sort of seasonal disease. We have lots of issues with diarrheal disease, respiratory tract infections, and different skin infections due to the poor sanitation conditions these refugees are living on. And on top of it, we have a lot of refugees with the trauma and injuries related to the war. We have all wounded people with a different sort of disabilities directly related to war. And of course, because majority of refugees are women and children, a serious issue on the health, general woman health, is reproductive health issues. This population not very well familiar with family planning and contraceptions. And we see parting of different STDs and the potential of HIV increase in the country. Of course, STDs and HIV not related exclusively to women health, but because we're able to access and assess this type of population only, that's why we sort of know that this is the serious risk. Designing our health interventions, we are trying to address serious challenges which we see this refugee population have. And challenges are related to different aspects, starting from the physical access to the medical facilities, where we have problem with the distance of refugee households to the nearby health facility who provides services to refugees, and the transportation costs related to this. Documentations required for any refugee to get their assistance in any of the facility. The simple discrimination situations at the facility where priorities are given to, if we have a long queues and people are desperate for help and there is a Jordanians on the line, definitely doctors and nurses trying to serve their, Jordanians, their community members who are their relatives, neighbors, or friends, or whatever, and refugees are having longer waiting period. There's also another serious barrier is on whole understanding of preventive health issues among refugee populations. Most of the Syrian refugees who are now living in Jordan, who are residing in Jordan, they're coming from Dara area of Syria, who are previously had the lowest educational level, even so Syria is a middle-income country and they had pretty good educational, you know, system and health system previously in the country. That particular area was not among, never had a good health indicators initially, and now these people with a very poor literacy level is very low, and understanding on health issues and preventive health issues is very, very low among them. That's they lacking basic health education, understanding why they should do this and that, why they should go for preventions, and most of their behavior is mostly like acute. They're coming to the doctor when they're seriously sick only. And this is true not only for adult population, but also the same behavior pattern they apply for their children. We also, the Jordanian healthcare system, they were doing quite well before the refugee crisis. This we should admit, and all credits to be given to the Jordanian health authorities. They were developing their health system for a number of years, and they were, you know, able to strengthen it enough for to cover their country needs. But now, with all this burden of so many vulnerable, extremely vulnerable refugees who are coming to their country and demanding health care, the system itself is lacking on the basic medications. They're seriously lacking on health care providers. There is not enough nurses in the public health sector. There are not enough doctors. There are not enough, even so if prescription was given to refugee, there is not enough pharmaceuticals available in the pharmacies. There are not enough diagnostical equipment available in hospitals and clinics, and that all adding to the quality of care which refugees are able to get. Even so, then Jordanian government was generously granted free access to the healthcare system for Syrian refugees. Legally and officially, yes, they can get this. They should be able to get this healthcare for free, but in practice there are so many barriers that they cannot really receive what they're entitled to. When we are trying to design our interventions, of course we're trying to address all of these barriers with the limited resources we have. And most of the focus on our interventions is done on empowerment and self-management of refugees themselves. We are doing a lot of education among refugee communities. We are put on place community-based referral system when we train so-called community health workers among refugees themselves. We educate refugees themselves on the basic health education messages and basic health assessment which they can do at home of their peers. They're going house to house doing health assessment and able to refer and give advices to their peers on where to go, on which conditions, and what kind of documentation would be required for them to bring with them in order to get the services. That's extremely important, and a lot of education, community-based education, we are putting on the making sure that they understand on preventive health messages specifically related to vaccine-preventable disease. Another serious focus, which we believe is crucial at this moment, we are focusing seriously on capacity development of the Ministry of Health and institutions, medical institutions who are providing care, who are ready to provide care to Syrian refugees. We are trying to help them with basic medical supplies, diagnostical equipment, in order to increase their capacity to serve more patients per hour or provide basic diagnostics to patients regardless of their status. Because it is we are, as within IRD interventions, we don't really focus on exclusive refugee medical clinics who provide care only to refugees. We are partnering with the government public health facilities who are serving anyone, they are providing services to Jordanians, to Syrians, to Iraqis, to anyone who is entitled to these services. That's why extremely important to provide enough sufficient equipment, then everyone can benefit out of this additional equipment. Extremely important focus of our intervention is training, intensive training to Ministry of Health staff, to doctors and nurses. This became a crucial point, even sort of for Ministry of Health officials to understand all of a sudden, then even so they have a pretty good standards of medical education in among their health providers. But these health providers all of a sudden face disease burden which they never practiced before. Many of the Jordanian doctors never saw scabies or leishmaniosis before. They only learn about it in a medical school, and all of a sudden they see patients which, they don't know is that rash because of the allergy or is that how differentiated with the scabies, for example. That type of education, practical trainings, which are very, very important for Jordanian health providers. Of course, we are working very closely with Ministry of Health, with our peers, other international agencies, UNHCR, UNICEF, WHO, and doing a lot of focus into community health workers. For the last 4 years, we've been able to have a number of very serious, achievements to be done through the program, and we were able directly to serve more than 70,000 beneficiaries through the different campaigns. We are working with the 26 Ministry of Health centers and doing intensively household visits and education of the refugees. When we started this program 4 years ago, our baseline data was, we were asking very simple question, then are you refugees? Are you using Ministry of Health facilities? Because everyone knows that they can use it, this facility, and the service will be for free. But we only understood that only 20% of people were actually using Ministry of Health facilities in 2004. And this summer, which was an end-line survey for one of our projects, we were able to document that 93% of the refugees now using Ministry of Health facilities, and with a very high satisfaction level of the services they're able to receive at the facilities. We have a number of challenges and lessons learned during these 4 years of implementation of the program, and it's related to administration of the project itself, because in Jordan every single project must be approved through the Jordanian government bodies, and it's taking time and bureaucratic procedures. You cannot really implement anything until you have all sort of signatures and stamps on your work plan and deadlines and everything. Security is a serious problem for our staff to travel to the field. In some of the areas of the country is having the security issues, and it's simply not safe to go to these places in order to monitor activities and to see if everything is going on as it's planned. Limited capacity of our local partners. We are partnering with a number of local civil societies and local NGOs on the ground. They're excellent, they're willing to provide help, but they don't know how. They're not really trained on providing financial reports back to us or just activity reports, and we need to focus a lot on their technical capacity development in order to be able to work with the grants we are giving to them. Future steps as from our side as recommendations and future steps would be continue to work very closely with the authorities, with the Ministry of Health specifically, and one of the serious recommendations would be to handle the situation with Ministry Health, Jordanian health system facing with the refugee crisis, not as emergency situation only, but to try to build up their general capacity in order to be sustainable and to be able to address similar type of crisis in the future. That would be our main lesson learned and recommendation for any future, you know, specifically donor funding. Then they should be linked from emergency pool of funding into development pool of funding, because whatever help would be provided from agencies like IRD or UN, they all are temporary. We're all only able to help in the emergency crisis, and we will pull over. But the government and the health system itself need to have enough capacity to address similar situation in the future. Well, I believe that's all my time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And if you have